Did you hang on that melody? The fact that we have life is a gift from God. Are you hanging on to that? Or do we take that for granted? You know, I gave you a large passage of Scripture to read this past week, Romans. Did anyone successfully make it to Romans 11 this week? 1 through 11? I know. Did my visitor. Go figure. Thank you for the testimony. You know, I will tell you, I did read the first 11 chapters because if I'm asking you to, I better, right? I mean, that's the rules. And I agree because I've talked to some of you and you said, man, there's so much information there. I need to take it in little bites. And we do with God's Word. Sometimes it's hard to understand. So as we progress through this morning's sermon, I want to still encourage you to be reading Romans 1 through 11. Actually, I think there's 16 chapters. The whole book isn't that bad to read. It's good for the soul. It equips us and teaches us. That's what God's Word does. But I also want us to entertain the thought of reading the chapters that precede Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles this morning, as I'm praying, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. It's in the New Testament. And if it's on your phone, bring it up. And I also want to make this disclaimer. I am going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning because as I studied, you know, the NIV, the New American Standard, they offer the same insights, but the NLT just makes it so that we can understand it better. So as you're following along and you say, James, what planet are you reading from? I'm reading from a more contemporary, excellent translation of God's Word. So with that said, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you again for the freedom that we have to come here as a fellowship and learn more about you. I pray that you would speak to this body of believers, that you would equip us to be all you created us to be. Use your word to mold and shape us into those you created us to be. For this, we give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're there in Ephesians, if you're not, listen intently. Again, this is from the New Living Translation. This is Paul speaking. I beg you, I, a present prisoner here in jail for serving the Lord, to live and act in a way worthy of those who have been chosen for such wonderful blessings as these. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Try always to be led along together by the Holy Spirit, and so be at peace with one another. We're all parts of one body. We have the same Spirit. We all have been called to do the same glorious. We have all been called to the same glorious future. For us, there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and we all have the same God and Father who is over us all, and in us all, and living through every part of us. I want to offer some thoughts that need to be addressed here if we're going to move forward in the ways God has set in place for us as a church. Here's my thought. Do you believe you have been called from God and gifted to serve? See, this is the part where I would love in unison a big hearty yes, but yeah. All right. But these are just thoughts, so we don't need to, but that's encouraging and exciting for this one little pastor here. Have you ever felt like your life is without purpose? Because I will be the first to admit it's easy to fall into the trap of self-pity and begin to feel useless. I've been there. And when you stay caught in that insecurity long enough, you actually become unproductive. We don't want to be there. You have to understand that the lack of purpose is a favorite trap for the enemy to keep us stuck in a place that keeps us from fulfilling God's plan. He has a plan for each and one of our lives. It's set in place. We're not going to move it to the right or to the left. It's His will for our lives. If we have accepted God's free gift of salvation and experienced the Holy Spirit taking up residence in our lives, we have also been called by Him for a very specific and unique purpose. Do you know what that is? For me, it's ever changing. I'm not the man I was last year. I'm not the man I was the year before that. This is an ongoing process. We have to understand that we have a unique purpose. One that God has designed just for you, just for me. And get this, before the beginning of time, wrap your minds around that. Just burst my bubble. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. It is He who saved us and chose us for His holy work, not because we deserve it, but because that was His plan long before the world began. What was the plan? To show His love and kindness to us through Christ. Couple that verse with Ephesians 4:1-6, and we come to understand that it's no small thing to be called of God and gifted to serve Him. This is like a high praise and authority gifted to us. Recognizing this truth about who we are is humbling, and it should, according to God's word, lead us to act with gentleness, be patient with fellow followers of Christ, understanding that they too have been called by God to serve. They also have been chosen for something unique, designed especially for them. Since before the beginning of time. That's more than wonderful. I mean, that's what Paul's talking about in the first 6 verses. Because of our love for God and others, we should be motivated to discover our gifts and go alongside and discover your gifts along with the church. We should be united in the power of the same Holy Spirit who has given each of us power, power, power to accomplish our purpose. Work together as a body. Because that's what we are, as we're going to see in the weeks ahead. We're going through, if you're visiting, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And last week I closed saying, every eye up here, do you believe, this was my question, do you believe you were gifted to serve God? And here we are. This is the gift. And there are many, up to 30, I think. I'm not the scholar here. You may know better than I. But they're listed throughout the Bible. We can go further in the thought by continuing reading verses 7 through 10 of Ephesians 4. That we've been called as a body of Christ to work together. Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 10. However, Christ has given each of us special abilities. Whatever He wants us to have out of His rich storehouse of gifts. The psalmist tells us about this, for he says that when Christ returned triumphantly to heaven after His resurrection and victory over Satan, He gave generous gifts to men. Notice that it says He returned to heaven. This means that He had first come down from the heights of heaven, far down to the lowest parts of the earth. The same one who came down is the one who went back up, that He might fill all things everywhere with Himself, from the very lowest to the very highest. In other words, don't think highly of yourself, more than you should. Because anything that you're doing that's great is because of God and Him working in and through you. The Bible tells us again and again that as part of the church that God has set in place, we have each been uniquely gifted from the Holy Spirit to carry out His plan. We have our plans, but He ordains our steps, right? Amen. These spiritual gifts are designed to help us fulfill our calling. If you're called of God, don't say no. Again, I've been there. Not a good place to be. There are several places in Scripture where we get offered lists of our spiritual gifts. We saw in Romans 12 last week, in verses 6 through 8, that there was prophesying, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, were to lead, and show mercy. These are gifts from God. Anyone called to do these? They're gifts. They're not mandatory. They're what we use throughout our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul lists apostles, prophets, those who preach God's word, teachers, those who do miracles, those who have gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together, and those who speak in languages they have never learned. Do you have those gifts? I have some. I don't have them all. But that doesn't mean that tomorrow I will have still yet another gift. 1 Peter 4 offers in verses 10 and 11, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessing. Are you called to preach? This is God's word here. These are God's questions to us. Then preach as though God Himself were speaking through you. Are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies so that God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. He wants to use us, and I might add mightily, and He will. There's also this list here in Ephesians 4, and I don't believe the point of the lists are here for us to examine to find out our specific gift. Get it? I'm thinking these lists are to make known to us the kind of spirits, the kinds of things the Spirit might place upon us to be used at any moment as followers of Christ. They help us see the variety of unique gifts available to us and open our minds so that we might see our gift set. We're going to look at this in the weeks ahead, spiritual gifts. I'm sure every preacher on the planet just goes down the list, and some denominations hold the list upside down. We're going to look at that in the weeks ahead. With that said, let's ask ourselves, what has God placed right in front of us to use? What excites us? What are we good at?
I never thought about it.
Yeah, that's where our problem is at as the church, capital C. Not this church. We do great things. We have to ask the question, what breaks our heart that motivates us to move forward? This world is hurting. This congregation is hurting. What are we doing to unify, to come together? What do we find ourselves naturally doing most of the time? I will tell you here, making food. We make good food. And it's good that we're nourishing the community. But what are we doing for the cause of Christ? Are we letting people know of our salvation so that they can have hope and faith in their salvation?
when you look back through the history, what have the men been standing here doing? Well, we put together this, and we did this, and we did this. But what have we done for the cause of Christ? I want to be the pastor that when I'm no longer here and that day could come, I want them to tell stories. That Pastor James, man, all he thought about was Jesus. Man, he had two heads. He's a weird, he didn't wear shoes. Because the ground he stood on was holy ground. I don't want to be known for setting up a tent, for building a playground. I want to know that we made a difference in God's kingdom. That's why I'm here. What Bible passages jump out at you when you take the time to read them? I mean, are there things there that just trigger? Or when you read Romans 12 and you're like, I visited this church. God is clearly speaking to us through his word. But what stands out to us to be on mission for Christ? You know, answering these questions, and you know, what breaks our heart, what God has right in front of us, what excites us, what are we passionate about, help us figure out what our spiritual gifts are. These are those things that God has made us good at, passionate about, which will ultimately serve the purpose within the body of Christ, the church. We are many members, but one body. Yes? Yes. Look with me at Ephesians 4. Verses 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Some of us have been given special abilities as apostles. To others, he has given the gift of being able to preach well. Some have special ability in winning people to Christ, helping them to trust him as their Savior. Still, others have the gift for caring for God's people as a shepherd does his sheep, leading and teaching them in the ways of God. Why is it that he has given us such special abilities to do certain things best? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity until finally we all believe alike about our salvation, about our Savior, God's Son, and all become full grown in the Lord. Yes, to the point of being filled full with Christ. Then we'll no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone's told us something different or cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will lovingly follow the truth at all times, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and so become more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. And each part, in its own special way, helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full with love. With love. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the specific gifts listed here. Today, I would rather look at the imperative that follows. What's important now? We've been uniquely gifted. By now, that should be abundantly clear. It's part of our identity, but it's for a very specific purpose. The responsibility that comes with our gifting is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church. Get your picks and axes together. We got work to do. As we learn to function as a body with the Lord Jesus Christ as our head, we will begin to fit together perfectly with all the other members. Our gifts will complement their gifts. And as we all use our gifts together, listen, in unity, we'll grow. Do you want to grow? I want to grow. This will make the whole body, listen, healthy, confident, strong, mature, loving, listen, have purpose. I don't come here so in 25 minutes I can eat lunch with a friend. I come here to learn more about God. So I can answer the question, if there's more Jesus, show me. Teach me. Mold me. This is the one. Break me. Is that your prayer? Because until that takes place, we're going to go around being what we are. What's imperative here is that we learn to function under the head. Not me. Just as our physical bodies can only function if the brain is coordinating the movements, telling each part what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, so it is with Christ. He's our head. And when He's operating as the brains of the operation, He's not going to lead us to tear down others or to work in disunity. If that's what's happening, that's not of God. We're called by God to serve Him and others. That's the reason we were created. It's the reason we have life and breath. As true followers of Christ, we've been gifted with the greatest of the gifts found in 1 Corinthians 13. Love. Faith and hope. That's the gift list we need to be looking at first. Before we can entertain all the other gifts that are equipping, that are temporary, I'm going to prove in just a minute. Do you see love in the church? And I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about the church worldwide. Do you see us growing in love around the world? We're just loving each other. Do you see us being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? The church worldwide. Because it seems to me that this morning is the most disjointed day of worshiping the Lord on the planet. You got your Methodist, the Pentecostal, the Baptist, the non-denominational, everybody, and they're all worshiping in their own little thing. When will we come together as a church and worship in unity? Now, I think that's the answer. When Jesus comes again, that's what I want to prove right now. Listen to these words from Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. It should be familiar. If I had the gift of being able to speak in any other languages without learning them and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making noise. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what was going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and if I was burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatsoever. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges, and it will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you'll be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Someday, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge, these gifts will disappear. Now we know so little, even with our special gifts, and the preaching of those most gifted is still so poor. But when we have been made perfect and complete, then the need for these inadequate special gifts will come to an end. They'll disappear. It's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child does. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I have put away the childish things. In the same way, we can see and understand only a little about God now, as if we were peering at his reflection in a poor mirror. But someday, we're going to see him in his completeness, face to face. Now all that I know is hazy and blurred, but then I'll see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now. There are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. That's the gift list we need to be hanging on. We have the gift of hope. We have the gift of faith. We have the gift of love. Are we sharing it? Are we implementing it? May we, each and every one of us, purpose today, right now, to live our lives worthy of our calling, so we can experience those blessings, using the gifts that we have been given to us, submitting to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be active in fulfilling our own unique purpose given from God to us for the benefit of the church, not the building, the people. Those people. And for building his kingdom. My hope is that this church has a kingdom focus from this day forward. And that as we learn about the gifts that God has given to us, already they're little seeds waiting to sprout, we're going to see in the future. Are you ready to hang on for the ride God has for us? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're calling each one of us by name, that you have a desire for us to respond to you, that we wouldn't take salvation or our salvation for granted, that we would put into practice the gifts that you have given us, and actively seek to serve you today, tomorrow, and until you call us home again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.